Today on 4Q, why medicine isn't and never has been a quick fix, why hucksters never seem to go away, and how a city famous for kilts, castles, and very questionable dinner parties, Edinburgh, dragged American surgery out of the Wild West and into the modern age. We'll talk goat testicles, carbolic acid, chloroform experiments in living rooms, and why the President of the United States once died not from a bullet, but from doctors who couldn't be bothered to wash their hands. I am your chief medical explanationist, Dr. Terry Simpson, and this is 4Q, 4Q University, where we bust myths, make sense of the madness, and teach you a little bit about medicine. In the 18th and 19th centuries, Edinburgh was the world's medical capital. Its anatomical training, surgical rigor, and clinical innovations drew students from everywhere, including the American colonies. Physicians like Benjamin Rush, who also signed the Declaration of Independence, John Morgan, William Shippen Jr. studied here in Edinburgh, then went home to found America's first medical school at the University of Pennsylvania, and ultimately shaped Harvard's medical program. But here's the thing. While these elite schools planted the seeds of evidence-based medicine in America, most of America remained medical chaos. Patent tonics, unlicensed practitioners, and magnetic healers peddling miracles, it was the Wild West, and louder claims, not better science, won the crowd. But Edinburgh didn't just export talent. It created breakthroughs. Enter James Young Simpson, yes, a relative of mine, the man who gave the world chloroform anesthesia. When ether was first used in Boston in 1846, the idea sailed across the Atlantic. By the time the next ship docked in Edinburgh, Scottish surgeons were already refining ether masks, and within weeks, Simpson and his colleagues had moved chloroform, a more potent and practical anesthetic. The famous story? A dinner party. Simpson and his friends inhale chloroform, collapse on the parlor floor, wake up amazed, and realize they ended surgical agony. Yes, when you go to a dinner party in Edinburgh, you'd never know what's going to happen, and it's not just the beer. Or the scotch. Quick breakthrough, sure, but only because of years of study and preparation made him ready for that moment. If Simpson solved pain, Lister solved infection. Lister spent years at the microscope studying inflammation, devouring Pasteur's germ theory and connecting the dots no one else saw. His weapon was carbolic acid. He sprayed it on wounds, tools, bandages, even the air. Colleagues scoffed. Invisible germs offended Victorian pride. But death rates plummeted. Dogma was outdone by data. And antisepsis evolved into asepsis, sterilizing everything from instruments to gowns to hands. Modern surgery was born. Well, in Edinburgh, at least. America, of course, was busy ignoring this progress. In 1881, President James Garfield was shot. The bullet wasn't fatal. He should have lived. But his physician, Willard Bliss, dismissed Lister's ideas, probing Garfield's wounds again and again and again with unsterilized instruments and unwashed hands, and invited a parade of other doctors to do the same. 79 days later, 100 pounds lighter, Garfield died at a summer home in Long Beach, New Jersey, not from a bullet, but from the infection Bliss introduced. And Bliss? He billed the government $25,000 for his trouble, about $750,000 today. Thankfully, Congress only paid $6,500. What a bargain. Proof that sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you isn't being shot, it's being treated by a doctor who puts money in grift over reading. By 1910, the Flexner Report finally dragged American medicine towards science. Diploma mills closed. Laboratory training became mandatory. Schools like University of Pennsylvania and Johns Hopkins, modeled on Edinburgh, set the new standard. But if you think this killed quackery, think again. While Edinburgh gave us modern medical science, America gave Edinburgh chiropractors. Sorry, friends. Meet John R. Brinkley, the goat gland doctor. He didn't have a formal medical education. He got his degree from a diploma mill. And in the 1920s and the 1930s, he made millions of dollars implanting goat testicles into men to restore virility. Let me put this to you another way. You take a goat, you whack off a testicle, you implant it in the scrotum, and you say, look, you're restoring virility. Did it work? No. But people thought it did. Testimonials poured in, but data was nowhere to be found. Brinkley pioneered medical marketing using radio, the social media of the day, to broadcast his miracle, in quotes, to millions. He ran for governor twice. He built an empire on goat glands, and only when the AMA's Morris Fishbein hounded him in did it finally collapse. America shut down his radio station. But lessons were learned. Hucksters have evolved. They never go extinct. Let's fast forward to now. Goat testicles are gone, but the grift? Oh, the grift is thriving. Today, snake oil wears lab coats and call itself functional medicine or root cause wellness. They peddle expensive stool tests, invent conditions like leaky gut, and sell you supplements that allegedly fix what only they can diagnose. They use enough medical jargon to make it sound real. And then there's the carnivore crowd, the influencers telling you to eat nothing but steaks, ignore 70 years of data on the Mediterranean diet, dismiss the science of cholesterol, and instead admire their abs. Sign up for their life coaching. Buy their overpriced special salt for rehydration. Newsflash, salt to salt. And Pedialyte, used in 92 million rehydrations around the world, doesn't need their branding. Sometimes people ask me if these hucksters turn their genius for making money toward actual science, could they help medicine? The answer is no. First, most don't have the scientific foundation to begin with. And those who do self-select out of the grind, out of the painful erudition that real medicine requires. They leap straight to the shortcut, the miracle. Their grift. Second, even those with training have chosen the con. Their drive isn't discovery. It's dollars. Progress is slow, unglamorous work. Selling dehydrated beef liver is easier. Which is why we're standing here at the Surgeons Hall Museum. Why this place matters. This isn't just scalpels and skeletons. It's a cautionary tale. Breakthroughs in butchery, science and snake oil, side by side. Progress is fragile. And the line between huckster and healer isn't thin. It is a line of thick evidence. But it appears thin to the general public. Because while they don't have that long foundational ability to understand the difference between quackery and real science, we have to keep bringing it up. Edinburgh gave the world more than anesthesia and antisepsis. It gave us a model. Evidence over ego, humility over hype. America eventually followed, but the hucksters never disappeared. They just rebranded. Goat Gland Radio became the wellness podcast. Patent tonics became the $70 detox supplements. The promises are the same, only the fonts and ring lights are fancier. The cure for quackery isn't charisma, it's science. And that's the real lesson behind these glass cases. If you're ever in Edinburgh, while you might go and buy yourself a kilt and some great scotch, please see this museum. It is truly a testament to the modern wonders of how we got here today. And finally, I want to give a huge thanks to the following people, Kashina, Thomas, Jordana, Shanti, and Kat. Everyone at the Edinburgh Museum who welcomed us so warmly and shared their work. And a special thanks to Producer Girl, who made these episodes possible and future episodes. This has been Fork University with me, Dr. Terry Simpson, your chief medical explanationist. And here's the thing. While I am a doctor, I am not your doctor. And if you're seeking or hear about some miracle cure, please see a board-certified physician, not a chiropractor, not an Eastern-trained shaman, but a real doctor, who can sit down and explain to you why that miracle detox won't help you, why that worm dewormer that they're trying to sell you for some parasite cleanse will not help you. But instead, we have some real medicine that is often cheaper than the fake one that won't even cure you. Thanks to our distributing partners, Simpler Media Productions, and the pod god himself, Mr. Evo Terra. Have a good week, everybody. Hey, Ebo, you know, the scotch here was pretty good. I'm pretty sure this might be a cure for something. I just don't know what.
Yes, sorry, I'm still thinking about testicle testimonials. Yeah, I went there.